The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows.
Would somebody shoot
Call
that
Steve
cow?
Now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Welcome back. Hope you're doing well. This is Steve Noble live from Thomas Road Baptist Church on the campus of Liberty University. We're here for the Standing for Freedom Conference. We talked about it last week. Biblical principles in a woke world. And that's an understatement, to say the least. But we're going to talk to several people here that are at the convention, including Liberty University's own Glenn Clary. We're going to talk to the pro-life doc, Dr. William Lyle. But right now, we're going to talk to one of our great Congress members from the great state of North Carolina. Congressman Dan Bishop, who is in the 9th district. Maybe it's the 8th district now. It's so confusing these days. Congressman, how are you?
Good afternoon, Steve. It's great to have a chance to talk with you.
It's great to have you on. I appreciate your time, as always. And so tell us, just give us a little update. We got the big election on Tuesday, obviously. We want to push people out to support you and other conservative pro-life candidates. And I've got a list out there that I've been pushing out for about 6 weeks now. You're one of the people that's on my personal picks list. So we appreciate you and thank God for you, Congressman Bishop. But give us an update on your campaign and why is this one so important?
Well, thanks, Steve, and you're right. I've been in the 9th District since 2019, and the special election this year I'm running in what is the courts, you know, did our maps, took the power away from the General Assembly and devised one, and I'm in the 8th District, and my prospects are very good. It's a gerrymandered Republican district that they've packed a lot of Republicans in. And more generally, Steve, I think the prospects for Republicans across North Carolina are very good and very important. The only thing I'm kind of holding my breath about is I think there could be a tendency to complacency a bit.
Yeah.
And folks not turn out. If people will turn out and do their part, this is an opportunity to save the country and really North Carolina from pretty horrendous. You know, I'm not even sure how bad things might get if we were to not block and have a
right
blocking mechanism in Washington. And even if you've been following the news today, our North Carolina Supreme Court, by again that same 4-3 Democrat majority, held for the first time ever in North Carolina that they could decide themselves how much money to spend on public education as opposed to the appropriation power always resting with the General Assembly. So it's been one thing after another with, you know, striking down or essentially striking down the voter ID and tax cap constitutional amendments, the outrageous position on the legislative apportionment this year. So one thing after another, it's an extraordinarily important race, and we have the opportunity to win and put Republicans on who will follow the rule of law.
We're talking to Congressman Dan Bishop. His website for the campaign, votedanbishop.com, right here in North Carolina. So we need to make sure we are out there and supporting members of Congress like Dan, because not only is he our brother in Christ, but he's a great representative and understands the Constitution and has allegiance to the country rather than an ideology. And I appreciate what you said, Dan, that the red wave is only going to happen if we actually get out there and show up and vote. So complacency is dangerous. Don't assume anything. Even though we're hearing, you know, is it going to be 30 seats, 40 seats, 50 seats gain in the House? But let's assume, God willing, that happens. What's going to be the early agenda for the Republican Party in the House of Representatives? Because obviously we have to stop the Biden administration. We'll see what happens with the Senate. But what can you guys do immediately in the House of Representatives? What's the plan?
One thing that Kevin McCarthy, who appears to be the sole contender in effect for speaker if there's a Republican majority, one of the things he's put on the radar for the first thing to do is to pull back these 87,000 IRS agents that Democrats legislated back in August, and do that surrounding the next debt ceiling vote that will occur in early January. But, you know, and then there's the commitment to America. There are a number of extraordinarily important policy areas we need to make progress on immediately. For me personally, and I think widely across Congress, but certainly in my case, I sit on the Judiciary Committee that Jim Jordan of Ohio leads. I was just on the telephone with him a minute ago. We are very serious about digging into the FBI and the Department of Justice, which seem to have become politicized on a scale I don't think I ever imagined. And I think there needs to be similar, deep, and unprecedented, relentless oversight of the Biden administration in Congress. And it's going to have we're going to have to be quite serious about it, and we're going to really get to the truth so that the American people can get a full picture of what's going on in this administration and make the right decision in 2024 when we have an opportunity to take the White House.
Yeah, and I think oversight is the key word, and there's not going to be much that can be done legislatively, even if the Republicans take the Senate, because Biden's going to veto everything. But that oversight issue, that's very powerful. I think one of the things that we need the most right now in this country, whether we're talking about the Department of Justice and the FBI, like that report came out that you mentioned, and whether we want to pull Pope Fauci in and depose him. There's a lot of work to do there, Congressman Bishop, in terms of oversight, and it sounds like you guys are definitely committed to that.
Certainly are, and I think every committee in Congress needs to be an oversight committee. But we certainly, the judiciary, where I sit on Homeland Security, and those are two of the most important ones to get after that. And even on the legislative front, Steve, it is correct. We won't have the White House. We won't have the 2/3 votes or the 60 votes in the Senate that you need even to pass legislation, automatically. And we certainly probably will have a hard time overriding vetoes.
Right.
But there will be these critical junctures, these omnibus bills, and there will be opportunities to negotiate for big things that are important to the American people. Mm. And I'm counting on our leadership to do that. I worry sometimes we've seen occasions when Republicans have been a little bit too status quo and have failed to take the initiative. I think we definitely need to do that. I will be pushing hard and trying to hold us accountable, our own conference accountable, to deliver for the American people on the opportunities that exist. There will be some.
Yeah, that's right. That's a great encouragement. Congressman Dan Bishop, votedanbishop.com. We'll have you on again as soon as possible. Thank you, brother, for your service to the nation.
Thank you, Steve. God bless you. Thank you.
God bless you, too. We're over here at Thomas Road Baptist Church. There's still time to get registered and get over here. The event starts at 5, plus it goes all day tomorrow. StandingForFreedom.com. Also excited to be broadcasting today, 93.7 here in the area. We'll be right back.
Come on.
Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, live from Thomas Road Baptist Church here on the campus of Liberty University. StandingForFreedom.com. There's still time to get over here for the convention, for the Standing for Freedom Conference. Biblical Principles in a Woke World. It's all tonight and all day tomorrow here on the campus of Liberty University. Thomas Road Baptist Church, StandingForFreedom.com is the website. Especially if you're listening on the brand new Truth Radio Station, 93.7 FM here in town, and it's just an honor to be here. And why would a pro-life OBGYN doctor decide to take over the operations of a place that, on the second floor, performs abortion? Well, I had not heard that story before until earlier today when Dr. Bill's wife brought it up. And Dr. Bill Lyle, great to have you here. The pro-life doc, welcome to the show. How are you?
I am doing very well. It's an honor to be here. We got to give 3 lectures to the students over at the university this morning. I'll be speaking at this great event tomorrow.
That's awesome. It's great to have you here. So tell us about kind of that, the genesis of, because obviously you weren't going there to all of a sudden I'm going to become this pro-life doc and travel all over the country and come talk to kids. So what was the deal originally when you found this OBGYN clinic that was also doing abortions?
The clinic was actually the largest provider of abortions on the Florida panhandle, and so the initial goal was to take over that practice and then on day one shut down the practice of abortion and even referrals. We had the physician sign a non-compete, a restrictive covenant where he couldn't practice any medicine for 2 years, and we thought that was the end, and God had other plans. We did a presentation at a church nearby, which led to a presentation at another church, and now we'll be out of state about 50 times this year, sharing, not just to encourage people to be more pro-life, but physically giving them the tools that they can use to defend God's preborn in the womb.
And you were and one of the things that happened when you were there, which really kind of cracked this all open, when you decided to go check out the second floor of the facility, what did you find?
We had never been on the second floor when we had taken our tours. And the second floor was where they actually performed the abortions. And I'll never forget, it was a Sunday after church. And I went up those stairs because I finally had the key to my office, went up the stairs, turned the corner, and there was the abortion machine all laid out for Monday's abortions, all the equipment. And I couldn't help but think, in Pensacola, buckle of the Bible Belt, on the same road as Pensacola Christian College, how have thousands of moms gone up this set of stairs with a baby on the inside, spent a half hour upstairs, and then gone down the other set of stairs without that baby?
Yeah, yeah.
So we did a presentation at church, and it was really a calling. That was, if you had to ask, when was I called to this ministry of ProLifeDoc.org, that was the moment when God said, you've got a skill set, you need to use it, and so we've applied that skill set to defending God's preborn.
And have you found, I don't know any convictional Christians that aren't pro-life, but what you do with that profession of pro-life faith is another thing. I also don't know that a lot of Christians and non-Christians understand this issue from, we're all about, Dr. Fauci, Pope Fauci, he is science. We're all about science. You can't be a science denier. Is science on our side on this one, Doc?
Oh, true science is. We learned that with the follow the science mantra, is that God is the creator of all science, so all true science will defend his preborn. And science has now allowed us to use the tools of modern medicine to show that person that is inside of the womb. A patient is a person and is entitled to respect and bodily integrity. So if we can prove that the preborn in the womb are a patient, then they are a person and they have rights. And we are now doing blood transfusions at my hospital, 18 weeks gestation to the baby in the womb to save their lives. We are doing open heart surgery at the Cleveland Clinic at 27 weeks where the baby actually had an IV placed in the baby's hand and a pediatric anesthesiologist was giving medication.
And this is in utero.
In utero. They've made an incision. We've been doing spina bifida repair for 27 weeks. We went from doing it open to now doing it with a laparoscope, and just recently UC Davis is now applying stem cells on a patch directly to the baby's spine at 27 weeks, and it's not just a treatment for spina bifida, it might be a cure, but the key is what was the source of the stem cells. They initially tried stem cells that were harvested from aborted babies. It did not work. What worked? Stem cells from mesenchymal cells from placentas after a mom delivered that would have been thrown away anyway.
Right.
So it's these cells, these Genesis cells, these miracle cells that take the spinal cord that really needed some help. And these cells are just totipotential. They're just waiting for guidance on what they're supposed to become. And these babies are now moving their legs, moving their feet, and it might be a cure for spina bifida.
So what, and that's an incredible praise. So what is the approach with people that are on the fence or are pro-choice when they start hearing things like this? Because, when you're doing blood transfusions, you're doing this type of work, you're doing heart surgery on that quote-unquote thing in the womb, which is actually not a part of this person's body. It's residing inside the body. But how do you want people to process this?
Sure.
Because obviously it's a very effective, quote, and this, don't take this the wrong way, everybody, non-biblical, I'm going to throw the Bible at you. This is science, which we like to talk about today. What's the process in terms of people's thinking becoming pro-life?
Well, when we speak to non-scripturally based audiences, they still have a moral compass, we hope, and we'll ask them, if I have a patient in my office that was not born in the United States that needs a blood transfusion or they will die, do I have a moral and legal obligation to provide them access? If I have a patient that needs laser vascular surgery or spina bifida surgery or even open heart surgery, but they were not born in the United States, do they have fewer rights because they weren't born in the United States, or do I have an obligation to provide them with care? And always they will say, it doesn't matter if they were born in the United States. You need to provide them with care because they are a patient. I agree with you. But these patients were not born in the United States yet.
Yeah.
And that is the key. If we are treating them as a patient, then they are a person. If they are a person, they have rights and need to be defended.
Yeah, and that's really where the argument comes down to, is the whole notion of personhood.
Correct.
I just heard you talking to some young guys earlier, and one of the things that I didn't know till several years ago, I'm like, hey, you know what? All the DNA that I have right now, I got at conception.
You did.
And that wasn't another kind of animal DNA. It wasn't some other life form DNA. And then it became Steve Noble DNA when I was born.
Sure.
That was my DNA from the moment of the get-go.
There was one cell from your mom, one cell from your dad out of his 300 million cells that he contributed to this effort. But of those 300 million, God knew exactly which one was going to be you. And you were chosen. God knew who you were before that moment of conception. We can actually do a blood test on a mom, and we can look at the specific DNA of the baby itself. So a mom says, it's my body, it's my choice. It's like, I'm doing studies on a different body. Half the time that body, even at 10 weeks, that new person is 1 billion cells. And if it's a boy, every cell is X and Y chromosome. Meanwhile, every cell, the 60 trillion cells in the mom, is XX chromosome. And how can this cluster of XY chromosomes be part of mom's body? We can actually do paternity test now, 7 weeks after conception, on a blood sample from the mom. We're looking at the baby's DNA. And, you know, we're created in the image of God at the moment of conception, and that one cell is different from mom, dad, and the other 8 billion people on the planet.
What kind of fruit are you seeing?
Actually, we're seeing grapefruit with this. We were at the University of Florida College of Medicine. We gave a talk about how we treat the preborn in the womb as patients. And we had a young man who was being very boisterous during the talk about it doesn't matter. A patient is a person and is entitled to respect and bodily integrity. He came up afterwards and he goes, Dr. Lyle, nice talk. He said, got a funny feeling you believe in God. I said, yeah, it's my core foundation. It's my cornerstone. He goes, I don't. I'm an atheist. He said, when I walked in here, it was a woman's right to choose an abortion for any reason at any gestational age. But he said, I'm a huge advocate for patients' rights. And what you just described as the babies being patients in the womb, you've changed my heart, you've changed my mind. The babies do have
rights. There you go. That's the reality of God's creation. ProLifeDoc.org is the website, ProLifeDoc.org. Dr. Bill Lyle, thank you, my brother. Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, live from Thomas Road Baptist Church on the campus of Liberty University. I am here for the Standing for Freedom Conference. That is, I love the subheading here, Biblical Principles in a Woke World. And it is getting more woke by the day. I mean, the insanity is increasing at such a rate. Every day, it's just a shocking thing. It's also great for those of you listening to the Truth Radio Network, if you're here in the Liberty University area, the beautiful Lynchburg, Virginia, listening on 93.7 FM Truth Radio. I'll be here all evening, so I'd love to meet you and welcome you to the Truth Radio family. And there's still time to register, okay? And this is actually a very cheap, I think it's like $30 or $50, something like that. An incredible lineup of speakers tonight and tomorrow, including Eric Metaxas. He's going to be sharing here. And our Lieutenant Governor in North Carolina, is going to be here. Seth Dillon, the CEO of Babylon Bee. Jeremy Dice, who's been on the show before with First Liberty. Of course, Jonathan Falwell, who's the senior pastor here. Mike Ferris, who's the president and CEO of Alliance Defending Freedom. That's one of the premier Christian legals groups in the country. Kevin Freeman, of course, the host of the Economic War Room. It's just got a great listing, a great lineup of speakers. Coach Joe Kennedy, who I interviewed a couple weeks ago, who was the coach that dared to take a knee out on the field after his football team would win or lose, just to pray silently by himself, and other people joined him. Eventually, that case went all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court, and he won. Michael Knowles is also going to be here tomorrow. From the Daily Wire, they've got just an incredible lineup, Eric Metaxas. And then we were just talking to Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson, who I mentioned. We were just talking to the pro-life doc, Dr. William Lyle. And we were talking off the air, and we're hoping to talk to Mr. Glenn Clary, who's with Liberty University, as well as Ryan Heffelbein, who was on last week. So we're waiting for those guys. It's kind of busy here. The whole thing starts at 5. And again, you can still come join us. StandingForFreedom.com is the website here in Lynchburg, Virginia. Thomas Road Baptist Church on the campus of Liberty University. Talking to the doc afterwards, after the last segment. And he mentioned, you might have heard this in that last segment, he mentioned the paternity test. So you can do a paternity test using the blood of the mom at about 7 or 8 weeks, okay, so you've been pregnant for 6, 7, 8 weeks, they can take a blood sample. And then in that blood sample, the mom's blood sample, they find, lo and behold, now hold on to your hats here. You might want to tie your shoes so I don't knock your socks off. In the mom's blood, you find the DNA of somebody else. It's not the mom's DNA. It's genetically distinct from the mom. It's not the mom's DNA. So, okay, class, whose DNA could it possibly be? And can the mom possibly have two different kinds of DNA in her blood? She cannot. She only has her own DNA. So where did this mystery DNA come from? Well, lo and behold, that's the little 6, 7, 8 week gestation child that she is carrying. And that's why you can do a paternity test with blood only at 7 or 8 weeks. And that's the whole point. That's what Dr. Lyle is doing with the Pro-Life Doc. And by the way, their website is prolifedoc.org, prolifedoc.org, is just showing people we're all about the science now, right? We're all about the science. And are you a science denier? So they'll call you a science denier if you're not ready to burrow underground and live underground because of the climate. They'll call you a science denier if you, well, if you believe everything that's true and not true about COVID and the COVID shot and all the other mess. Are you a science denier? Well, now on the pro-life conversation, you don't have to throw a Bible at them. You don't have to use Psalm 139. You don't have to quote scripture. You don't have to show them a picture of an aborted baby. You can just talk hashtag science. And the truth of God is what carries the day. And so God's truth working itself out, showing off right there in science, and in this case, in a blood sample taken from a pregnant mom whose child is only 6 or 7 weeks along. It's mind-boggling, and it's so simple as to be ridiculous. But that's the beautiful thing about it. I think we have to remember that you have to. And now, again, this is a reminder that the ball is in our court. Since Roe versus Wade fell in June, it gets pushed down to the state level. And now, church, the ball is in our court. So the question is, are you capable? Are you ready? Are you even willing to have a conversation with friends, family members, maybe even somebody you go to church with that is undecided or still says that they're not comfortable coming down hard on the whole pro-life thing? But now that we have this chance in our state, which is why we were talking to Congressman Dan Bishop a few minutes ago, and it's so important. Now, he's at the congressional level, and that's super important because if the Democrats were able to hold on to the House, which, thank God, I don't think they will, and if they kept the Senate, they were going to pass legislation, and Biden was going to sign it, codifying Roe versus Wade, codifying abortion into law. That's what they were going to do. And you have to stop that. Well, on the local level, on the state level in North Carolina, you're like, wow, North Carolina, aren't you guys in the Bible Belt? Well, kind of. I think the Bible Belt slid south quite a bit. But in North Carolina, we have a legislature, the House and the Senate, controlled by the Republicans. Then why do we still allow? We've become an abortion destination. It's like satanic sandals vacation spots. And now North Carolina, because we allow abortions up to 20 weeks, is a destination spot in the southeast for abortion. Yet we've got churches on every corner. We've got Bible studies every night of the week. We've got a Republican-controlled legislature. However, we have a lost, deeply, morally flawed, reprobate mind governor who won't even sign a bill that would protect a child that survives an abortion. That's how given over he is. And unfortunately, he's got the power of the veto, and the Republicans don't have enough votes to override it. So that's why you've heard me say many, many times in the last couple of months, 3-2-1. That's the goal here in North Carolina. 3-2-1. We got to pick up 3 seats in the North Carolina State House. We got to pick up 2 seats in the North Carolina State Senate. We got to pick up 1 seat, which is why we had a conversation yesterday with Trey Allen, who's running for the North Carolina State Supreme Court. We pick up one seat in the state Supreme Court, then conservatives then take control of that. We pick up two seats in the Senate. Now we have a veto-proof majority there. And we pick up three seats in the North Carolina State House. We have a veto-proof majority there. And then, this is the trick, then us conservatives, us Republicans, have to turn around and hold their feet to the fire after the first of the year. Because if they have that veto-proof majority, then we have to say, okay, guys, now it's time to get serious about pro-life legislation. I think what they'll probably do if that happens is try a heartbeat law, which means as soon as you get a heartbeat, then you can't do an abortion. Now, from a truth perspective, biblical perspective, I think you outlaw abortion, period. Not at 3 weeks, not at 6 weeks, not at 8 weeks. The trick with the heartbeat laws is that you can get a detectable heartbeat at about 5 or 6 weeks. Almost no abortions are happening that early. Okay, they got to wait a little bit until they have enough of a formed body in there so that when they vacate it by vacuum in the first trimester, they get all the pieces out, and they have to be able to see that we got every piece of this kid out. There's an arm, there's another arm. There's a hand, there's another hand. There's a leg, there's a leg. There's a torso. Where's the head? We can't find the head. Where's the head? Because now the problem there is you're going to have the potential of an infection, and an infection that can kill the mom. So they have to wait. So a heartbeat pill, okay, I'll take it, because that effectively gets rid of just about every abortion in the state. But that's why these elections are so important, and that's why we mentioned this earlier with Congressman Dan Bishop. Do not assume anything. Don't get apathetic. Well, there's enough people going out. The things look really good. The polls look really good. I hear things on the on radio and on the internet, and things look really good there, so that's going to be fine. So, I got busy. Time got away from me on Tuesday. And, no, the polls are closing soon anyway. I'm sure it's fine. You cannot assume anything. Don't assume it's fine. If you're registered to vote, you have an obligation to vote. If you're unregistered, then repent, and next time you have to vote. I've said this 1,000 times if I've said it once. And I was talking to Mr. Glenn Clary earlier, who hopefully we'll get on in the last segment of the show, with Liberty University, about so many evangelical Christians that aren't even registered. He's like, politics is dirty, politics is ugly, we shouldn't get involved with politics, I'm not comfortable with that, blah, 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 blah. That's a sin. In the United States of America, the federal government, the state government, they're passing laws, enacting legislation, running programs that affect literally everybody. All of your, keyword, neighbors. So let's go back to that little story Jesus told about the guy that was found bloody and beaten on the side of the road. And one guy goes by, and another guy goes by. These are religious people. It wasn't until the Samaritan, the Good Samaritan, came by that he stopped and helped the guy. Well, in this case, it's the whole state. It's the whole country. And if you don't vote, what you're saying is, it's not worth my time. I'm not even gonna try. That's why not being registered and not voting is a sin. It's a violation of neighbor love, which is a violation of God love. And you need to repent and get registered and vote. This is Steve Noble. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, live from Thomas Road Baptist Church here in beautiful Lynchburg, Virginia, on the campus of Liberty University. Still time to get registered and come on out. Standing for Freedom, Biblical Principles in a Woke World. It's getting more woke by the day, and it's getting more proud of its wokeness by the day. You should notice that, whether you're listening on the radio or watching on social media, wherever you get your information, it's all over the place. So you need to come out and get educated and encouraged. StandingForFreedom.com is the website. You can still register. You can still come out this evening. It's all day tomorrow. An incredible list of speakers like I went over in the last segment. And then I had a chance to meet Glenn Clary today, who's with Liberty University. And we were talking about a subject that I think most evangelical Christians, Glenn, probably aren't aware of. Welcome to the show. It's great to have you.
Steve, thank you for having me.
You're very welcome. And this is a topic that I think, like a lot of people that listen to conservative Christian radio, a lot of your friends, a lot of my friends, we run in a circle of believers who are probably almost all of them are registered and almost all of them vote. But that's actually not the norm, is it?
And that's not the truth. Only 50% of those that we know actually go vote. So that's not the norm, and it's not the truth.
What do you think's behind that? I mean, I'm not as quick to bash pastors as I used to be, but pastors do play a pretty big role in this.
Well, I just believe that people get lethargic about voting, and they don't get out and vote. They don't see the importance of it, and they're not trained, taught, and they don't understand their biblical impact on this country and how, if they were to get engaged and get out to vote, what impact that would have for the cause of Christ.
Now, here at Liberty, you guys have been working on several different things, just like we're talking about the Stand Up for Freedom, the conference going on this weekend. But what are you guys doing institutionally? And then I want to go back to the biblical case, because you were talking about something earlier today out of the Old Testament that's really, really a powerful reminder for everybody. But tell me about what Liberty's doing, and then we'll talk about the scripture.
Well, we have the Standing for Freedom Center, and it gets out and builds relationships with pastors and churches, and we're trying to be that repository of biblical principles so people can understand what their biblical values are. A lot of pastors stand up in the pulpit and say, hey, go out and vote your biblical values. Some pastors say
that. Yeah, you know? Some of them, right? Some of them don't use the V word.
Yeah, but you know, they people in the pews, they don't know what their biblical values are. So we're building that out, and we're in the infant stages of that. You can go on our website, and you can see our biblical principles and click on those and read some of those documents, and we're going to be building that out in the future. We have another initiative that we're working on, and that's the Freedom Voters Initiative, and that's to train and educate pastors on what they can do from their pulpits, in their churches, and how to do it gracefully.
Mm-hmm.
And not endorsing any candidate, not endorsing any party, but endorsing the fact that the people in the pew should be registered to vote, and they should be encouraged and motivated to go out to vote.
What do you think is behind a lot of pastors' hesitancy on this subject? Because there's ignorance. There's not really understanding, which we'll talk about in a second, kind of the intersection between our faith and the scriptures and our role as citizens. But then I think there's a big factor that we've been dealing with in the last few years, especially with something like COVID. I think there's a huge fear factor out there.
Yeah, and I think they're fearful to some degree of losing church members. Mm. If they encourage people to get out to vote, and if they do it the way it's been done in the past, we're not encouraging anybody to consider or to endorse any particular political candidate or political party. We want to say, hey, listen, the Christian community needs to get registered to vote and needs to be encouraged to get out to vote. And they're going to take that leadership, according to a Barna research, from their pastor. Their pastor is one in their lives that they listen to, and they will follow their leadership. And pastors need to step to the plate, provide that leadership, and provide a way in their churches by setting up voter registration tables, which is totally legal with IRS rules and everything. So people can register to vote, and then the pastor should encourage them on, hey, tomorrow's or this week is vote day, you get out and vote. And not having to say who to vote for.
Well, the beautiful thing about it, and anybody that knows the scriptures, and once you start studying the confluence of what God's word says versus the hot button issues of the day, really up and down any kind of political conversation you want to have. I know if you're going to study the scriptures well and you're going to apply the scriptures accurately, I know where you're going to fall on most issues. I also know what that's going to do to your vote. I don't need to say it. I don't need to point you to the destination. God's word is going to do that. And that's why we mentioned this earlier. I said, I don't tell people to vote their values. I tell them to vote biblical values.
Right, exactly.
And then what can we do? And we were talking about this earlier as well. What can we do? What kind of initiatives are you guys talking about? Trying to engage these churches. Because I want to go over the numbers of how many people, evangelicals, actually aren't even registered. People need to know how bad it is.
Yeah. Well, in this country, according to the latest census, we have 90 million people who claim to be evangelical. It means that they go to church once a week at least. And so they claim to be people of faith. Well, out of that 90 million, you have 18 million of them actually registered to vote.
Only?
Only. Only. So that's 72 million believers or people who claim to be people of faith who are not registered to vote. But out of that 18 million that actually claim to be registered to vote and claim to be people of faith, only 50% of those actually went out and voted. Only 50%. And you see what's left on the table. if these 72 million would get out and register to vote, We could have a great impact for the cause of Christ in this country.
Well, we wouldn't be talking about Joe Biden. And by that, I do not mean, hey, I'm going to throw a MAGA hat on and do all that stuff. I'm just saying that if the Christians actually, if they say they're Christians, they actually act like they're Christian to a certain extent. They go to church on a pretty regular basis. If they show up, if you get the choir to show up, then it's kind of game over, isn't it?
Yes, it is. You know, I've been involved in the political atmosphere for over 40 years. I was actually the chairman for the Republican Party in the state of Alaska.
Wow.
And I came up through their ranks, precinct committee man, district committee leader, and then was treasurer for 16 years, and then vice chair, and then chair. And I was actually at the national convention in 2016 when Trump got the bid. And the night before, I got there early, and I went up to the steps of the convention where Trump was going to come out and give the speech from the platform. And I just privately, personally, just knelt down and just prayed for this country, prayed for him since he had the number of votes, prayed for the election, prayed that God would guide, direct, and lead, which is what's commanded from the Bible to do. I could hear out of my right ear this click, 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 click. So I knew someone was taking pictures. After I got up, I went to my left. I didn't want to see who that was, but she chased me down. She tapped me on the shoulder and said, hey, could I get your name? I've took some pictures of you praying, and I'm going to submit it to AP and report on this. And I said, sure, my name is Reverend Glenn Clary from Anchorage, Alaska. And then she goes, now, why were you here praying? I told her what I just told you, and she says, well, how do you justify supporting a person like Donald Trump or anybody?
Yeah.
And I'm saying, listen, Jesus Christ is not on the ballot, and we are not electing a pastor. You know, the qualifications for a pastor is a great deal more than a president.
Yes, to say the least.
And that's some of the things that drive church members out of the political arena. They say, well, these people don't meet the qualifications of a pastor, so therefore I can't vote for them. That's not true.
Yeah.
You know, the Bible tells us and encourages us to vote for the maybe, you know, the lesser of two evils,
I mean,
if you will.
As long as you're voting for a human being on the planet Earth,
exactly.
You're always voting for the lesser
until,
of two
until
evils.
Jesus blows
all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God.
Exactly. Well,
tell me about the passage of Scripture. Was it in Exodus? Where was that?
No, it's Numbers chapter 30 tells us that silence, it teaches this principle, silence is consent. And if a father doesn't say anything about a boy that's courting his daughter and they're talking about marriage and he doesn't intervene because he doesn't think he should be, and that's a principle that we should know. And so it tells us that if we are silent on an issue, then that is giving our consent to. And that's the same thing for Christians. When we're silent at the gate, Lot sat at the gate, but he was silent, the Bible says.
That's right.
And you look what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah.
Mm-hmm.
So here you are, and we're silent. 72 million people of faith are silent. They're not even registered to vote. They need to be registered to vote, get out to vote. Pastors have leadership ability, and they have connection with these folks.
That's right.
They need to learn what they can and should do in the church and in the body of Christ and encourage their folks to get out to vote.
And again, there's that specter. You mentioned this earlier. There's the specter of the Johnson Amendment, which tells you if you're a quote-unquote 501c3, which is what I am, as a radio ministry, that's a church's tax status. The Johnson Amendment allegedly is you can't talk political things, you can't get into the issues, you certainly can't talk about candidates. And I think a lot of pastors, unfortunately, that's given them an easy out to avoid it. But a lot of them just don't understand that law. And like you guys are doing registration here, I've seen churches, I've been at churches where they do voter registration. And if you know the law, like Paul knew the law, it's actually on your side.
A pastor can, in his community and state, he can invite all of the candidates from all of the parties that are running and come for a candidate Sunday and have those candidates there to be introduced to his people. He can provide them tables in their lobby to set up all of their campaign materials. And then he can have them in be part of their service, introduce them from the platform. Don't give them 5 minutes, 10 minutes as a soapbox, but introduce their name and what office they're running for, and then allow those folks to interface with his people and their people to do that.
So powerful. Know your rights and then take advantage of your rights. That's what I always remind people. Paul knew he had rights as a Roman citizen.
Yes.
And at the right time, He exercised
those
rights.
You play that card.
That's right. You play that card. Glenn, it's been so great to have you on, Glenn. It's great to meet you. Thank you for the work that you're doing here at Liberty University. We'll definitely keep our communications open. I'll help you any way I can.
Thanks, Steve.
You're welcome.
God bless you.
It's great meeting
you
today. Thanks so much. We're live on location, finishing up the show. It's still time. You can still register. StandingForFreedom.com is the website. StandingForFreedom.com. The Standing for Freedom Conference, Biblical Principles in a Woke World, is getting more work woke by the day. This is Steve Noble on The Steve Noble Show. God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon. And like my dad always used to say, ever forward.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.